You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
It's an amazing thing to think back to 2 years ago and all that has transpired over 2 years. 2 years ago, we asked a simple question, and this was the question. What would happen if all of us stepped up with our generosity? What would happen if people that had never given before to God's work through the church stepped in and said, we're going to be a part of giving to God's work through the church? What if those of us who gave to the church, that give to the church, we stepped up and said, we're going to give at a different level, and we're really going to make generosity a key part of our heart? We asked that question, and then we jumped in and we stepped up and we began to pray. See, here's what happened. We had $45 million that would come in 2 years of our budget. If we just went to the normal budget, about $45 million for ministry and missions would come in. And we asked a question, well, what if another $15 million came in? What could we do with that? If everybody stepped up, what could happen with that? So we started seeking the Lord. We started going after God. We started asking people and telling people about it, and we actually told one person that worked for Billy Graham, the Billy Graham Evangelical Association, and he told us that it was impossible. I want you to know how discouraging that is for Billy Graham's group to tell you that it's impossible. Like, you work for Billy Graham, be nicer than that, come on. It can't be impossible. But don't you know what's impossible with man is possible with God? So we started praying and we started fasting. We started asking God. We had these coins that we took a couple, 2 years ago and put them into our pockets, and we carried them around for that time, asking God to lay a number on our hearts. What would God do if we all stepped up, if we went for it? What kind of impact could we make? Our focus was on the cities of the world because we know that the United Nations says that by 2020, 80% of the world's population will be in cities. So we said, well, let's look at how we could do ministry in a city. Let's look and see how we can focus in on cities, but let's don't forget about the widow, the poor, and the orphan, and the prisoner. And we jumped into this journey called Mission 1-8, and now we sit 2 years later seeing what God has done. I want you to do two things. One, I want you to pull out your weekly guide that's this big mama type thing here. And you're going to be able to fill out all the different blanks that are going to be there. And for those of you all that are super duper type A, we also put the smaller ones so you can put it in your binder and keep all of your little things in your binder. That's okay too. So we got that as well. But I want you to fill this out, and I want you to turn also in your Bible to what should be a very familiar verse to us, and that is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I'm going to give you a lot of different verses of scripture today, but I want you to hear Acts chapter 1, verse 8, because this is where this whole thing took off from. This is where it all started from. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says this, but you will receive power, and if power is not underlined in that verse in your Bible, then you need to underline it, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, underline the word my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, that's Jesus Christ, to Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the ends of the earth. See, he is setting forward a vision that we just took and made it Mission 1-8, and we said, we want to be a part of Jerusalem, that's Houston. We want to be a part of Judea and Samaria, that's our nation. We want to be a part of the ends of the earth, that's the world. And we want those things to be in the center of what we're doing, that we could go and we could make an incredible impact in the cities of the world. So we said, we're going to go to Boston. We're going to go to San Francisco. We're going to go to New York. We're going to East Asia. We're going to Rio. We're going to Madrid. We're going to do amazing stuff in our city, and we are going to go for it. And what I'm going to give you is I'm going to give you 8 words that are the 8-word thesaurus of Mission 1-8. That's what we're going to do. And then one word that's going to encapsulate everything. See how it's a little bit of a play on Acts 1-8? 8 words and then one word. 1 and 8. And we're going to move through these, and you're going to be blown away by seeing the impact that we have had in these 2 years with your giving, with your generosity of what God is going to do. So as I give you these words, I'm going to put them into a statement. But the first word is this: mission. We are on a mission to the world. We are on a mission to the world. Now, as you're filling that out, I'm going to have you repeat these statements with us, and I want you to get in your mind, these are not past tense statements. These are present tense statements. I'm not saying, we're not going to say together, we have been on a mission to the world. We're declaring who we are as a church by saying we are on a mission to the world. So I want you to repeat that with me. You ready? Here we go. We are on a mission to the world. Again, we are on a mission to the world. Our first word is mission. We have set out our faces to the world and said, Lord, we want to go. Well, where does that come from? That comes very simply from Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. All authority has been given to me. That's Jesus in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. See, here's what's happened as we've gone out on a mission to the world. When you get your eyes about the world, God gets bigger and you get smaller. When your eyes are only on your world, you get bigger and God gets smaller. Because what happens is God's job, his number one job, is to fix all the problems that are going on in your world, because that's all you can see. But when you look out and you see the world, now you get real small because you go, Lord, how am I going to be a part of the world? He gets real big of saying, you got a plan, and now I'm a part of his plan instead of getting him to be a part of my plan. Now I want to be a part of his glory and fixing, in a sense, his problems. Not that God's got any problems, but what I mean by that is making a difference in ministry instead of just asking him to come and to fix everything in my life. We have been on mission to the world. It is amazing what God has done. We have helped in so many ways. We've helped with 2 church plants in Rio, 3 church plants in Spain. We've partnered for 4 trainings in East Asia with 240 pastors that they have underneath their watch between 10 and 100 churches that we've made such a difference in them and have been able to train them. We've been able to translate Bibles into different languages. We've been able to make a difference. We've been in Africa. We've been in India. We've been all over the place. Here's just a great picture I want to show you. It's of a pastor named Thomas. This is Pastor Thomas in Africa. That was the weekly guide that we handed out in our church of Pastor Thomas. He was blown away that he was on this publication in America. Now, he is a pastor in Africa. We're helping his church. Now, he's a pastor. I'm a pastor. I thought about wearing the same clothes he's wearing right then, but, you know, I didn't feel like my arms and shoulders were tan enough at this point in the season to quite do that. That's amazing that we've gotten to be a part of that, isn't it? God has used us throughout the world in a huge way, from Houston, Texas, to the world, from me and you to the world. But guess what? There's still more to come. We're not done. There's still more to come. We're going back to India. We've been in India for a lot of years. We're going back there. We're going to help translate a Mars Hill film that talks about the hope in Jesus Christ into 12 different languages on the continent. We're going to help with church planting all over the continent of India. We're going into Africa to join with 2 schools in Africa. We're partnering with the 3 largest churches in Nairobi, Kenya. I'm going to actually preach this summer in 2 of those churches in Nairobi. We are going to the world. It's an amazing, amazing thing. We are on mission to the world, and Mission 1-8 has been a huge part of that. But not only are we on mission, the second word is impact. We are making an impact on our nation. We're making an impact on our nation. When I look at our nation, I love our country. You love our country. We need a huge impact of truth, of love, of hope in our nation. Instead of the nation impacting us, we've got to be people that impact the nation so that we can truly make a difference and help people and help them walk out their life. Here's a few things that's happened in the nation as we've gone forward to see what's happened. We've partnered with 2 churches in the Bay Area of San Francisco. We've partnered with 14 church plants in Boston and New England, 4 church plants in Boston and New England. We partner with 16 church plants in New York City. In New York City, the Journey Church has had 67 people come to Christ. We've helped support them over the last 2 years. Epic Church in San Francisco have had 60 people baptized in the past 2 years. A church in Boston, we helped them to hire somebody. Tell me if this is a big job, kind of blows your mind. In Boston, this person's job is going to reach 80,000 people of Indian descent that are in Boston. And we're a part of that as a church. See, we are making an impact in our nation. Say that with me. We are making an impact in our nation. We are making an impact in our nation. Yes. And there's still more to come. There's still more to come. We're going to connect in different cities. We're going to make a bigger difference in different places. We're going to say, Lord, we want you to use us in great ways so that we can see what's happening. We're going to help plant churches in Arizona, in Utah, in Tennessee, and 5 churches in Florida. We want to be a part of what God is doing in our nation. We're not a people that just whine and complain about our nation. We're a people that want to make a difference in our nation and make an impact. Make an impact of what God's doing. The third word is faith. Faith. We are people of faith. We are stepping out in faith to minister in Houston. We are stepping out in faith to minister to Houston. Stepping out in faith means that we care about the city. Jeremiah 29, verse 7 says this. Jeremiah 29, verse 7 says, "Seek the welfare of the city that I have placed you in. Pray to the Lord on its behalf, and when it has prosperity, you will prosper also." So we are going for it to make a difference in our city. Now, a big part of that has been our multi-site campuses that we've started over the last 2 years. People always ask me this, are you for church planting or for multi-site? Yes. Yes. They're not mutually exclusive. You don't say, well, we're multi-site, we don't do church planting. Well, we're church planting, we don't do multi-site. Yes. So we are helping with church plants, with associations that we're a part of, we're helping with church plants in Houston. We don't see church plants as competition, we see them as teammates. We want to see God use his church all throughout. We can't win everybody to Christ. We can't disciple everybody. We want to see church plants start, and we want to see our multi-sites even grow better than ever. And so in Siena and in Cyprus and downtown, we've seen God doing great things. Do you know that 1,000 people, almost 1,000 people, every Sunday worship in our multi-site locations? Almost 1,000 people. And so I just want to say to the multi-site ones that are connecting with us, I just want to say to them, thank you for you took a step of faith. They left the comfort of the loop. They left the known aspects of the loop, and they said, we're going to do something entrepreneurial and missional, and we're going to step out. We're not going to have all the bells and whistles we got here at the loop, but we're going to step out, and we're going to make a difference. And now 1,000 people are worshiping in other locations. From Cyprus to Siena is 50 miles. And downtown's right there in the middle of it, just beating with a heartbeat. Listen what God has done. Listen what God has done. Downtown has been impacting people of all different nationalities. They've gone on 4 mission trips to New York City. They've helped train people in evangelism in New York City. They've been trained here in evangelism of sharing their faith. They've been reaching out. You'll find no greater open arms in our city than our downtown campus. They love people and welcome people from a homeless person to a CEO. And they're making a difference in a huge way. Siena, when we first adopted this church in Siena, it was a church that was struggling a bit, and so we adopted them. And they were in this little upper room of this retail building, just a small little group of people of about 75 or 80 on a good Sunday. Now there's 2 services of about 200 people in total. We not are in the upper room. We now own the building and the 2 plots of land next to it. And there are ministries going on in that building every single day of the week. God is using it in a great way. In Cyprus, this week, this past week, not like 3 weeks ago, not 3 months ago, this week the Lord brought it. We signed the contract to buy 32.5 acres in Cyprus and to build a building out there of what God's doing. Can we just give the Lord a hand for all of that? That's some amazing stuff. Listen to where just our multi-sites have been on mission trips. This is just multi-site. This isn't the loop. This is multi-sites. Boston, Costa Rica, Spain, Guatemala, Kenya, Nigeria, Montana, Alaska, Mexico, Ireland, Cambodia, New York City, as I said numerous times, Romania, Peru, other African countries, Oakland, California. So there's been missions going out. Hear me loud and clear. Here's the vision for multi-site. It is not to create kiosks throughout our city. It is to create factories in our city. factories of discipleship, of mission work, of ministry, of making a difference in the community. We're not looking for one big anchor store and then a bunch of kiosks. We're looking for factories to be produced to make a difference because we love our city. And let me tell you what, we're not finished. We're still going forward. We have more to do. We have more to do. We are leaning forward. There is still more to come. We're going to start a Spanish campus at the Loop to be able to minister to our city. We're reaching out and going forward in many, many different ways of all kinds of ministries that are going forward. In faith, we are walking. In faith, this is a key to Mission 1-8. You and I stepped out in faith in our generosity. How's God going to bring this about? How's this number going to happen? Lord, are you sure? It feels a little tight. And in faith, you didn't buy something so that you could give to the work of the Lord. In faith, you held back on something so that you could go forward on something else. In faith, you saw God provide in great ways. And we are stepping out in faith, present tense, in our city. Number four, hope. We are bringing hope to the prisoner and the poor. We're bringing hope to the prisoner and the poor. See, what can the prisoner and the poor really do for our church? Doesn't matter what they can do for us. God has called us to do something for them. The incarcerated one cannot volunteer at our church and serve in some way. The poor do not have the resources to give in some type of way. But they can honor the Lord, and we can honor the Lord in giving to them. Here's what Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 says. The Spirit of the Lord God is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners. You have the prisoner and the poor right there in that one verse. We have made a difference of bringing hope to the prisoner and the poor. We want them to know that there's hope in Jesus Christ. And what we've done in a lot of this is we've partnered with some ministries in these next two, and the hope one and the next one I'll share with you. We've partnered. Now here, let's just be honest. Big churches often do not play well with others. Big churches often do not play well with others. We want to do our own thing. I mean, we're incriminating ourselves in this. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody else. Big churches don't play well with others because big churches want the credit. They want their logo on it. They want to make the statement. They want to say, we did it. You needed us, and we showed up. We have decided to break that in our church. We have decided to break that in our church. And to partner with people. So through Mission 1-8, we have partnered with over 50 different ministries to be able to give them resources and prayer and volunteers because they can get closer to the action than we can as the church. Here's what I mean by that. See, a ministry or a parachurch organization is like an ambulance, and the church is like a hospital. The ambulance can get right up to the scene of the accident and administer care right there at the scene of the accident. But if you put the person in the ambulance and you just drive around town, they're gonna die. You have to take the ambulance and do what? You gotta come back to the hospital. And then when you get to the hospital, then the hospital can help them with the physical therapy, with the occupational therapy, with the healing, with the doctors, with the rounds, with the visit, with all those sort of things. So we have partnered with folks in prison ministries that can get closer to the action. Now here's a couple things that we've been a part of in getting these ambulances, if you will, going forward. We've partnered where three additional transition homes have been opened to help disciple men that have been released from prison. We've helped to build two homes for single mothers and children with Habitat for Humanity. We've partnered with Hope for Youth to send 75 inner city kids to Christian camps during the summer. And here's the deal, there's more to come. There's more to come. We want to give more hope to the poor, more hope to the prisoner. We have in Spring Branch, just north of here, what we call the Faith Center, and we minister to thousands of people a year with it. We give them clothes, we give them food, we share the gospel with them, we pray with them, we help them with their electricity bill if they can't pay it, we help them with their air conditioning, we do whatever we can in benevolence, taking care of them to just help them. We've got a daycare that's very cost effective for people to be able to drop their kids off in a very cheap fashion so that they can work. Many of them have many jobs. And so we're ministering to those kids in those ways. So that's the Faith Center. Here's what we've been praying for, and I want you to pray with me because we've reached some roadblocks, but this is where we're going, still more to come. We want to open a second Faith Center here in Houston. And the place where we're going to open is a place that is surrounded by refugees. See, an immigrant is somebody who comes willingly to our country. A refugee is someone that is fleeing war or some type of evil that is coming. And we want to minister to the refugee, and we want to open up another Faith Center to teach them and to help them to get a driver's license and share the gospel with them. To help teach them English as a second language and share the gospel with them. You know what? We've been having some trouble getting the lease. The place that we're trying to lease is right across from this apartment complex. It's literally right across the street. I've been in that apartment complex. You walk in there, it looks like a whole different world, completely different continent. It's not the Houston that you and I usually circle in. And right there in that little area, there's a mosque, there's a brothel, there's a bar, and there's going to be Houston's First Baptist Church. That's what's going to happen. Is that awesome? Let's pray towards that. Boy, we need your prayers. The devil doesn't make these things easy. And I'm telling you what, a mosque, a brothel, and a bar in Houston's First Baptist, that's exactly where we want to be. We want to be a yard from the gates of hell is where we want to be. And being able to minister in a great way and to reach out in a huge way, that's what we want to be. So we are showing hope to the prisoner and the poor. Fifth word out of eight, love. We're showing love to the orphan and the widow. We're showing love to the orphan and the widow. Listen to James chapter 1, verse 27. This is pure and undefiled religion before our God and our Father, to look after the orphans and the widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. We are showing love to the orphan and the widow. Would you say that phrase with me? We are showing love to the orphan and the widow. One more time. We are showing love to the orphan and the widow. What an amazing thing. That's a present tense. It's going for it. We're wanting to make that happen, and we are making that happen. We have helped to be a part of ministry that's rescued 580 children from abortion. We've been a part of that. Another ministry that's rescued like 36 kids from being aborted. We've been a part of over 100 adoptions being scholarshiped in the last 2 years. That's an amazing, amazing thing to be able to see that happen. God has used us in a great way, in a great way. We've been a part of orphanages in Russia. We've been a part of orphanages in Africa. We have helped to subsidize bivocational pastors. That means a pastor that's doesn't make enough money at the church, he's got to get another job. Their widows, those men have died, 43 bivocational pastors' widows, so the wife of those men, they didn't have enough money to save after they'd given their whole life to ministry. We helped to subsidize 43 ladies' incomes over the last 2 years. Now, when I thought about that yesterday, I was just pondering all these things at Mission 1-8. It just brought tears to my eyes because I just pictured like a little old lady. You know, and no offense to little old ladies, okay? But, I mean, that's just what I got pictured in my mind. And we like big old ladies, too, okay? So either way, it doesn't matter. Little old ladies or big old ladies, we like you both. But just the stereotypical, just what I got in my mind, she's not going to make ends meet, and the generosity of Houston's First Baptist Church steps in and helps her make ends meet. That touched me yesterday thinking about that. Here's the unfortunate truth. Not all widows are old. And we have a widow's ministry here in our church that's loving and caring for those ladies like crazy, and orphan ministry of welcoming children in to care for them, to adopt them into loving Christian homes. We are, present tense, future tense, showing love to the orphan and the widow. Is there anything more exciting to be involved in than to have mission, to have impact, to have faith, to have hope, and to have love? And all those things come together to tell us this: we are part of an incredible team. We're a part of an incredible team. I love that word team. Everybody wants to be on a team. Everybody wants to be a part of something. Here's what's happened, guys. We are a part of an incredible team. Our staff is an incredible staff that has worked so hard on Mission 1A. I'm so proud of them. Our church, incredible church, and leadership of our church and congregation of our church, so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. We are a team, and what we've done is we've been arm in arm, and we've taken a step. And a big church can make a big difference. A big church can make a big difference. But here's what happens. If all we do as a big church is bicker about stuff, we're not going to make any difference at all. But we're not bickering because we're seeing Jesus and we're moving forward and saying we want to be on mission with him. And the more you're on mission, the less you bicker. And the more you bicker, the less you're on mission. And so we got arm in arm and we are in part of an incredible team. Say that with me twice. We are a part of an incredible team. One more time. We are a part of an incredible team. Could you have done any of this on all this on your own? I couldn't have. You couldn't have. Nobody could have. We're part of a team. And God used every one of us saying, we're going to step up and we're going to go for it and we're going to see what God can do. Let me tell you just a number about this team for you to put in that little blank there. Let me tell you how many people have been a part of Mission 1-8. Now, the number I'm going to put up would be what we would call a family unit. So like Kelly and I, two people, we would count for one of those numbers, okay? So it's a family unit. The two of us would count for one. We made one pledge together as a couple. But each of our kids also made a pledge. So in our family, we had three pledges. One was Kelly and I, and then one was our son, and then one was our daughter. And so that was great to be able to do that. So that's how this number comes out. So here's how many people were involved in Mission 1-8. Okay, 7 would be a disaster, right? 007 would be James Bond. That'd be cool if he was involved, but I don't think he was involved. The number was 8,007 people, family units, were involved in this. Is that crazy? Yeah. Let's celebrate that. Let's celebrate that and let God just, wow, that's awesome. So that could actually be like 16,000 people. That could be like 24,000 people if three people were for each one of this. That's an amazing thought. We usually have about 6,000 people on a Sunday. So that means like, over double the amount of people that come on a Sunday are involved because there's different people every Sunday. People are moving and going and doing and different things like that. So we have seen an absolute team of all of us together. We could not do it on our own. We are all together in this. What an incredible team. Number 7, and most importantly, we are growing through discipleship. That's our word, discipleship. I told you 2 years ago, and I mean it even more today. It's never been about the money. It's never been about the money. It's not been about what God's going to do through us. It's about what God's going to do in us. It's not what he wants from us in generosity. It's what he wants for us in generosity. And so we have been discipled. We have not aimed for the wallet. We have aimed for the heart. We have been discipled to grow. Discipleship means you take the next step. This is what we've utilized to take the next step. We had our generosity ladder. It's on the back of your weekly guide you can take home with you as well. But this is the first step on it. We asked the question, if you haven't given to the work of God through the church, would you be a first-time giver? And I'm going to tell you in a minute how many first-time givers we had, and it's going to be amazing. Would you be a first-time giver and jump in for the work of the Lord that God would do through you and through our church? If you're an occasional giver, now this isn't a destination point. We're not trying to get you to land here. This is just a saying where you are. So if you're an occasional giver, then step up to be an intentional giver. Maybe it's not a full tithe of 10%. Maybe you just say, you know what? Every time I get paid, it's going to be 2% out. It's going to be 3% out. It's going to be 4%, 6%, whatever it is. But I'm going to be intentional. Only good things that happen in life are things that are intentional. If you're an intentional giver, then we said, well, take another step and come up to a biblical tithe and say, I'm going to give 10% of my resources, my income to the Lord and say, Lord, it's you, it's yours. And many of us have been tithing for many years. So we said, let's step up and let's be extravagant givers. Let's give above and beyond the tithe. Now, my wife and I, we've been here for years as well. So we've been stepping up even more. And what we're going to do, God has provided for us. We're going to stay at the same financial commitment that we are in Mission 1-8. We're not changing it next week. We want to be a part of what God's doing. So maybe the Lord wants you to stay right where you are. Maybe he wants you to give more. Maybe he wants you to give less. I don't know. But pray about that and ask the Lord. Kelly and I feel like the Lord has given us to stay here. We've eaten every meal. We've had more than we need. God's blessed us in great ways. We're going to stay right where we were, right where we are, and continue to give. And if even more the Lord has laid on our heart, this just personally sharing with you, laid on our heart a number for us to give in our lifetime. And it's a number that scares me a bit. but we want to be givers. We want to be goers. We want to be prayers, but we want to be generous givers and say, Lord, if you could make in our lifetime, if we could give that number away, wow, how awesome would that be? It's about discipleship. Not just what God does from us or does through us, but what God does in us. So let me give you some incredible numbers here. Incredible numbers here. I'm going to tell you. I told you that we had, for the amount of people that gave to Mission 1-8, or family units, 8,007. That's how many we've had there. And let me tell you this, and this is the best number and the most exciting number of the whole deal. So I want you to go crazy, okay? When you get this number, this is absolutely amazing. This is how many first-time givers we had in Mission 1-8. I'm going to start backwards to make you think about it a little bit. 3,848 first-time givers. Is that incredible? That is incredible. I want you to look at the ratio of this. This is almost 50% of the people involved. 8,000, almost 4,000. Could we call that a little roundup? 8,000 to 4,000, almost 50% of the people involved were brand new to giving. So I want you to hear that, because I didn't go around and meet with like 20 rich people in the church and say, hey, would y'all give a lot of money? We all jumped in as a team and said, let's be discipled. Let's walk with God. Let God do his work. Now, let me tell you the final number of how much money has actually come in. This number is more important by far, but let me give you the final number as well. We were shooting for, our goal was $60 million. The pledges that came in were $71 million. Now, let me just tell you, give you kind of the what happens behind the curtain. Typically what happens, the amount of pledges, what you actually receive in monetary gifts is usually about 80% of whatever is pledged. So if there's round numbers, $1,000 pledge, usually $800 would come in just in round numbers. So 71 million, expect about 80% of that to come in. Okay, so that's an amazing thought. So that's not what happened. This is what the Lord has done for ministry, for missions, for impact, not just in these other things that we've done, but in what God has done of making a difference in our church, of making a huge difference in our church. $75 million in the last 2 years. Can we just give like a standing ovation for these three numbers? I want you on your feet for this. This is just too amazing to be able. Come on now, let's go. 8,000 family units involved. Almost 4,000 new givers. $75 million for impact and ministry. That is crazy, y'all. That is unprecedented in our church and in the nation and in the country. That is amazing. Go ahead and take a seat. To be blown away by that. God has discipled us. And this brings my last word. We are changed forever. We are changed forever. The word changed. Changed. We are changed forever. How has God changed you through Mission 1-8? What has God done in you through Mission 1-8? How have you been changed forever? See, my hope is that those of you that stepped in and you were a first-time giver, and many of you young singles, young marrieds jumping in this stage, that God would have done something in you that you would never get away from. And even this piece of paper, if you go through a financial hard time, you could pull this off your shelf and say, look at the faithfulness of God. You could look at this and say, you know what, man, what a church that we've been able to be a part of. I haven't been a part of anything like this. It's amazing what God has done. It's amazing what God has done. Those eight words are powerful eight words: mission, impact, faith, hope, love, team, discipleship, changed. But there's one word that's the best word. One word. And the number one word, though, is Jesus. That's the number one word. See, there's eight words in Acts 1:8, but there's one on the other side of the colon. And that one on the other side of the colon is the one word of Jesus. That's what the one word is. I want you to say that with me. The number one word, though, is Jesus. Say it again. The number one word, though, is Jesus. That's it. That's the number one word. It's all been about him. It's all been to him. It's all been for him. It's all been through him. He is the one, and he is the one that has made the difference. I don't know if you've ever heard of a book in the Bible called Ephesians or not, since we've been preaching out of it for like 8 months. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or imagine, according to the power that works in you, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, and to all generations forever and ever. Amen. He's the one word. Here's the plan. Here's what happened. God gave us a great vision. We said yes. And great things happen. And I want you to know, through this whole thing, God's been faithful, and it hasn't been easy. There's been some times where some things, I thought this was going to happen and that happened. There was a moment and way back at the beginning that we were in the pledges and all those things, we were off by like millions of dollars. And I had an ache in my heart of saying, Lord, you got to do something. You've given us this vision. You've given us this heart. Lord, is it impossible? Have we shot too far? And just on my knees and in fasting and prayer and calling out to the Lord and others joining me, just saying, God, you've got to do something. So I just want to tell you, we humbly celebrate God. We don't go, wow, that was really cool. Look at what a great church we are. Aren't we smart? Aren't our videos cool? Don't we print out cool stuff? No, we say, to him be the glory who is able to do immeasurably all than we ask or imagine. For his glory to the church and through all generations forever and ever. And I want you to know, there's been some moments for me and for the staff and for you as well. There's been an ache. There's been things you wanted to buy you didn't buy. There's been sacrifice. But let me tell you what, sacrifice is what makes it sweet. And without the sacrifice, it's not sweet. And without the ache, there's no need for healing. And there's no need to turn to God. So for these 2 years, we've ached towards God. We've sought him. It has to be him. And he said, 60 million, are you kidding me? Not did we get 80% of what would have been 100%. We overgave it by 200%. Was it 15 million? It was 30 million. That is to God. And so therefore, the way we're going to end the message, it's not with confetti cannons. It's not with, wow. We're going to celebrate in just a minute some more through worship. But I want you to join me. Every campus, all throughout our city today, I want you to get on your knees with me and thank the Lord.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.